98.5, the Sports Hub.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich, and I read an article that said that esports could outrate Major League Baseball and the NBA by 2020, and you might think that that's insane, but if you have kids, you'll see that they can spend, if allowed, an infinite amount of time on YouTube watching people play these games, and these guys are have, you know, 5 million views.
Well, on top of that, I get it and I understand it when it comes to Major League Baseball. Because what have we heard that the average age of a viewer of...
Like 60-something.
Yeah, it's like shockingly high. It's close to... If it's not over 60, it's right around 60. That's the average age of a baseball... someone who watches baseball regularly. But then you got the NBA. Now, that kind of shocks me because the numbers have been going up. As a matter of fact, this year, I think they were up 14% from last year. It's having one of its best years ever. But that's another thing. Is not only is the competitive gaming world, not only do people watch it on TV, because I guess ESPN is going to be picking up a lot more of it, but on top of that, everyone who's young and plays these games has 15 different ways of viewing it. You do it on your phone, you do it on your computer, you stream it, you know, you use your Apple TV, it doesn't matter. There's 1,000 ways to access it, where if you're an average baseball fan, you just got the old tube, and that's how you're doing it. And not a lot of people streaming baseball games, because not a lot of young people are doing it. But I was reading this article, and I guess esports has brought in more than $900 million in advertising last year. $900 million. And they're talking about how each one of these players is like a superstar celebrity. And this is great. This is from Business Insider. It said, in a world where competitive video games have the potential to be as lucrative as professional sports, the pro gamer has evolved massively. They said they're salaried employees with medical benefits, 401ks who have personal nutritionists and fitness trainers.
What does a personal nutritionist ask?
Funyuns. They eat. Exactly. Funyuns and any kind of Mountain Dew that's not traditional.
That's right.
What do you do for work? Well, I sit down like we do. I mean, the gamers do the same thing. They sit down. What is a personal nutritionist? What's that diet?
Well, whatever feeds your thumbs and you need to be on point. You need to have tremendous amounts of, I would imagine Adderall is involved.
ASDF, enter. ASDF, enter. Again, ASDF, enter. We got to get those fingers fast on the keyboard. But they said that are celebrities and role models for the fans who purchase jerseys and other merchandise in their honor. They also happen to play the same video game for 8 to 10 hours a day. So if you're wondering just how much money these games are bringing in and you go on YouTube and thing, it's almost an addiction. And when's the last time you can say you were addicted to watching a sport? This is like past that. The fever for these games.
I'm addicted to, I'm addicted to darts.
You like the old darts?
Oh, yeah. I like any game that the professionals drink during it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The station does not flip if you are one night just cruising around and you see professional darts on TV.
Have you seen, though, that there was a network that was going like darts?
Yeah. Yes. I love it.
I have seen it.
Yeah, there's a famous darts player that died of alcoholism, but he would drink like something like 20 pints like during his matches.
Yeah, I would watch a network, and I know that for a while ESPN, as a joke, did the Ocho, the fake station that they had on the Dodgeball movie. Mm-hmm. I would watch a network that had all fringe sports all day. The cornhole. When every once in a while you happen to see cornhole on ESPN.
Cornhole, darts, there was dominoes. Remember they ESPN did dominoes for a while?
Dominoes.
Professional dominoes.
But cornhole is easy to master. I mean, cornhole is not even worth being professional. I mean, if you spend enough time playing cornhole, you could dominate.
Not if you're up against the best of the best.
I mean, you could get it in the hole, 99% of the time if you just sat there and did it. It's not hard.
Well, that's like saying bowling. You could get a strike every time if you get good at it.
Bowling is hard in that
it's a specific pocket. You got to hit in between the 1 and the 3 or the 1 and the 2 pin on an angle.
Right, like cornhole, you can get hot like just the first time you played it and you can get everything in.
What do you think is tougher, getting 3 in the hole in a row or getting 3 strikes in a row?
Getting 3 strikes in a row is much tougher.
No way.
Oh, absolutely. It's
much
tougher.
No way. Have you watched these guys bowling? They just go up there.
Are you talking about a normal person or a pro?
Yeah, like if you're a pro.
Oh, if you're a pro? I don't know. I haven't interviewed the local professional cornhole player. I don't know.
All right. Well, if you are wondering just how addicted people are to not only Overwatch, but the new hotness, Fortnite, this is the one that Big Gordon Hayward is a huge fan of.
And, Fortnite, and, not the other one? Not Overwatch?
It's all about Fortnite right now.
Yeah, my son just consistently talks about
kids
Fortnite.
Are not hooked on
it's,
this
it's
yet.
Very annoying.
This is a guy who is being interviewed. He's in North Carolina, I believe. And behind him, as he's being interviewed, is an upside-down car in a bush because a tornado just went through. Okay. He's being interviewed about the tornado that just ripped through his neighborhood. There is carnage behind him. Let's go to the tape.
So tell us what you were doing and what you saw.
I was sitting at home, and I was playing Fortnite, and all of a sudden, I just hear a bunch of noise, and I look out the window, and I start seeing the roof come off the houses in front of me. But then I sit back down because I only got like a couple people left in my gang. I was going to try to finish the game. But then it just started getting worse. And then I started seeing the power lines come down. So I told my sister and my nephew to come to the bathroom so everything would be okay.
A lot of people say it sounds like a train. But did you hear anything or hear anything hitting against your home?
No, I really didn't hear anything. But I really did hear when the roof started coming off the, like, the side of the house. And then when the truck flipped, then I heard that.
And what's going through your mind is you said you're in the bathroom with your sister and nephew.
I'm like, honestly, I was just thinking about the game.
This is what it does. You get Pac-Man fever.
I mean,
how many people were at the arcade playing Pac-Man? They said, I'm about to get to the level where it just disappears, the game.
The last time that I was so engrossed in a game was in college, and I remember, like, Doom was the big thing, and my roommate had Doom, and it was one of the first person shooters, which now everyone's got. And I remember sitting down, I think it was around 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and before I knew it, I looked up, and it was 2:30 in the morning, and I had not moved.
Well, Doom is kind of how I got my start in radio, because I was basically a secretary for the program department, and the guy that did afternoons would start playing Doom and would just go to my show.
Because he would just get so into it, and he would get locked into it.
Yeah, Demery would just go to my show, because he was playing Doom, and he didn't care anymore. Yeah, he would just sit there and play Doom for 4 hours.
I've heard, though, however, as much as these guys are rock stars, like in the Overwatch League, I heard they're only making like 40 grand or something like that.
Yeah, the big thing is the prize money at the end of each stage.
No, oh, baby.
I don't think it's a lot. I think it's like $150,000 for the entire team if you win, and you divide that among 5-6 guys, whatever it is.
I mean, you get the glory.
Yeah.
Didn't they just have something at the Garden where you could watch on the big screen?
The Aganis Arena.
Yes.
They had the Aganis Arena.
Okay.
Yeah.
Honestly, I was just thinking about the game. But I was hoping everybody was okay around me. But when I came outside to check on my neighbors, they said everything was fine.
So I just got to say, kept thinking about the game. Meanwhile, behind him is absolute carnage. Like, it sounded like it's one of those things where you know it sounded like a train was like ripping through the place. He said he heard the roof ripping off, yet he still stuck around. I was like,
the truck flipped outside my house.
Look at that. The truck is on top of power lines in the back, which means that the truck had to the tree came down, picked up the truck, and the truck landed on the power lines. And he's like, I got to finish my game.
Yeah. And if you saw these goofy pricks that are playing these things on YouTube, and they're grown men playing these things on YouTube, and I don't doubt that they make money, but oh Lord, what is the castle game that you can play on the on your like iPad? Oh, Clash of Clans.
Okay.
Oh yeah, they sit there and play that thing.
My kids are in on that.
Oh yeah.
Kids are in on this.
Yeah, Clash of Clans.
Clash of Clans is big with them.
The problem with Clash of Clans is if you have any money, you can just go like, oh, I'll just buy all this crap for like $50.
And then you feel that satisfaction that you won, but you paid to win.
Yeah, you paid $50. Why not? All right, there is a player in the major leagues that has lost his mind and is acting like a complete baby. And we will discuss that for you. But first, I have a feeling this is about Rich.
Sports radio can be in your face with passion.
Paralyzes the entire nervous system.
Like us on Facebook and continue the conversation.
I'll do it.
98.5, the Sports Hub. It's exactly what your coworkers are going to be talking about today.
I am dizzy. I'm really dizzy.
Toucher and Rich.
Oh, my God.
Austin's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
98.5, the Sports Hub, or Toucher and Rich.
Real quick, so Boomer Esiason, I had no idea that was coming. The CBS Sports Minute, he did it about Mary, and he's, you know, talking about Mary Schertenlieb, and he goes, you know, her husband Rich Schertenlieb. I don't think he has any idea that that's me.
I think that's universally felt in the room.
0% chance.
I'm sure.
Zero.
I was listening. Positive, I was that's like, right.
I bet he has no idea what my last name is.
There's no like doubt about it. I mean, he has no
Someone
idea.
Someone should just
are.
Call him and tell him.
As he was talking, I was just sitting there like, here we go. And I'm listening to it. By the end of it, it's like, he has. We talk to that guy every week. He has, and we've met him a thousand times. He has no idea this.
Somebody call Boomer and tell him what the mistake he made.
No, he had no idea.
Yeah,
no,
none whatsoever.
None. All right. Go about your business.
All right.
How many years has he been a guest of the show?
What, four?
Four or five?
Yeah, there's no way he knows Rich's last name.
No, I know, but
oh,
I mean,
come on.
You met the guy how many times?
You
at least
think
three
he would
times.
Know, like, we're in the same industry.
I know, but
then again, but, you know, he's big time. So.
That's true, too.
He was handed a script. He read the script. He didn't put two and two together.
It's kind of weird, the circumstances.
Well, I just thought, I think it's hysterical. I'm actually going to, I'll tweet him right now.
Just reach out to him and say, hey, good to meet you.
No, he has no idea that it was you.
I guarantee you
he has no idea what your last name is.
All right.
There's no way he knows your last name.
That was so damn funny.
As soon as you tweet him, his show's going to call you. You know that.
No.
Oh, you reached out to Al Dukes, the producer.
Okay, okay, good.
He has no idea. I guarantee it. Just appreciate it, buddy. You've sent me a weird Christmas gift for years now.
Yeah, he indicated that he may not be aware, but he said he was going to let him know. So.
Okay, all right. Sure, okay.
May
good.
Not be aware?
No, he wasn't aware.
Al Dukes falling in his sword.
He doesn't know Rich's last name.
No, I mean, it's obvious.
All right. Sure. Anthony Rizzo, who makes a surprisingly little amount of money compared to other baseball players, his average salary is $5.8 million. He signed that deal in 2013 with a base salary of $750,000.
Right before he took off.
Right.
Yeah.
I would think so. He's making $7 million this year.
Yep.
It's so 7.285 is what he's making this year, which for baseball players, obviously, is not a tremendous windfall. But he talked to a radio station. Now, granted, what's the April 19th?
Yes. 18th, sorry. Today's
April 18th. So it's April 18th. Baseball had been going strong for 2 weeks.
Yep.
Here's what Anthony Rizzo had to say. I think we play too much baseball. Yes, guys are going to take pay cuts, but we are playing this game. Are we playing this game for the money, or do we love this game? I know it's both, but in the long run, it will make everything better. Shut up. Shut up. Go out there and play the game, stupid. You're afraid to play 162 games? How is that going to make anything better for you? Fine, and if it makes it better for you, it doesn't make it better for the teams, for the fans, for anyone. It's a 162-game season. It's fine. You're not playing hockey. You're not playing football. You'll be okay. How about this? How about you take 20 games off a year? Then are you okay? You don't. There's no one telling you got to play every game. Jesus, it's not my fault you signed a stupid contract.
Well, he's talking about giving money back.
Yeah,
I mean he signed a bad bad contract compared. I think it's 7 years, $41 million, whatever it is, and he's tied down until 2021. I mean, and he's talking about giving money back off being lowballed.
Yeah, I'm sure he wants to give back millions of dollars. I think he's thinking more about, like, he'd give back, like, 60 grand. All right, here is Rizzo talking.
I think it's too much baseball, personally. Yes, guys are going to take pay cuts, but, I mean, are we playing this game for the money or we love the game? I know there's both, but I think in the long run, it'll make everything better.
All right, you were blessed with the ability to do what you can do. So are you playing it for the money? Absolutely you're playing it for the money. You're out there just prancing around. So how about this? If Anthony Rizzo was a above-average college player and was stuck in Double-A, what is he going to play? Is he going to be Bull Durham? He's going to sit there and play and take the bus rides for that long? You're playing because of money. If baseball was like it was in like the 1930s and you had to have a job at a farm, in the offseason. You're not playing baseball. Then he goes on to say, I think playing in the cold sucks. Well, good thing that you picked Chicago. Why don't you run around and pick another team? I was thinking about that the other day. Were you pondering it in the cold?
Yeah.
Yeah, playing in the cold sucks.
Yep.
It does.
Yeah, he got traded, you remember, from San Diego to Chicago.
Right. So that's not great for weather.
No.
But, you know, playing in Chicago has really hurt his career. He has made no money, extra money playing in Chicago. But if he was in San Diego, he could get nice weather. He'd be completely ignored, but he could get nice weather. I think playing in the cold sucks. I was thinking about this the other day. When you think of Cubs-Cardinals, you think of beautiful Saturday at Wrigley Field. No. I think of it being 98 degrees on the turf at Busch Stadium is what I think about. People frying their asses off in the seats. You don't think about playing in 20 degrees. Well, you should, because you play in a cold weather city. And they start in April, so they can fit in 162 games. Even if the season isn't short, and Rizzo sees no reason to start so early. In a perfect world, we'd start the season later and play a few scheduled doubleheaders going into an off day. That's right. And that would be so good for business. You know what people like to do? Is spend 8 hours at a ballpark waiting for you guys to get it together into an off day. And then, by the way, you're going to play both ends of a doubleheader? You're going to do that several times a year? You're not doing anything.
Who in baseball would agree with that? The players? Certainly not.
No.
The players, and we haven't even touched on this, the players, the union, my God, how fast was that phone call to him after he did that interview? Wait a minute. You want us to give money back? The players union should be screaming at him. The owners are never going to give up the extra gate. Who in baseball would agree with that? Players won't. Owners don't. I can't think of anyone else in that league that would agree with him.
As a fan, you're going to baseball games in April, and it's raining, snowing, and with freezing rain. Is it really that much fun? That is the question. Now, if you want to start the season out in warm weather cities or in domes, I have no problem with that.
Red Sox did that this year.
And if you want to, and what I think teams should do is play, like the Tigers do, is they should play day games in April. They should, play day games and
get that extra few degrees. So instead of, 35, it's 40 during the day.
40 degrees, something. 45 degrees is a perfectly fine
temperature. What I'm saying, you're right. They should play April games during the day, so at least you have sun instead of freezing cold weather at night.
I mean, play them at 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
It's fine.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Or all cold weather teams have to play south or west.
That's fine. And
as I said, the Red Sox were in a dome for 4 games, and then they went to Miami to start the season.
Yeah, so you get that, and you load up your schedule, you load up some road dates, and then you make them up later in the season. I cannot believe that a star baseball player in a market where he is such a high-profile athlete is bitching, A, about the cold, and that it's too many games. This is that who was it that from the Red Sox that pitched about all the games? Not Veritek. Oh, boy.
What? Pitched? Caught? What are we talking about?
No. He bitched about all the games.
Oh.
He married, No, it wasn't Beckett.
I don't know.
Goatee.
Okay.
Come on, baby. Help me out here.
Not, Veritek has the goatee. That would be him, not Wakefield, who had one.
No, he had a big jar.
I'm drawing a blank.
Euculus.
Oh, thank you.
When Euculus used to bitch about all the games.
Okay.
Jesus, just enjoy. You hit a ball for a living. Just sit out there and play, bitching about all the games. Stand there. I understand. What is it? Hurt your hands?
Apparently.
And what does Rizzo? What does Rizzo have to do? Play first?
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine the grind and the demands of playing first base?
Well, yeah, you have to stand there. You get colder, and say if you're an outfielder, you get to run around a little bit.
Right, well, he's on most plays in the infield. He's got to go and cover first.
Yeah, he's got about 3 steps to his left.
Yeah, I can only imagine the grueling task at hand to have to sit out there, stand out there.
Mentally, that's got to be wearing a little bit. You're standing out there. It's 35 degrees. You're not moving around at all. Infielders, you pretty much have to go to either side.
And by the way, he's on the disabled list right now.
Yeah, the more standing around.
Yeah.
The rest of my case. It's got to be even colder on the bench. I'm thinking, you know, he's with the team.
You don't think they have heaters?
No, probably not.
No.
It is Wrigley Field. They got nothing.
Yeah, so. You think that they're still sticking to the script that they had in 1918?
I think so. That's exactly what's happening, and Anthony Rizzo is just cold.
Yeah.
I think that's what he's worried about.
I wish I was so lucky. I got to stand outside for 3 hours. Not even. Say 3 hour game. I'm out on the field an hour and a half. With nice little breaks in between.
I'm sure the fans, and maybe that's why you said it, to get on the fans' good side. I'm sure the fans who don't want to sit and freeze their ass in 40 or 30 degree weather and spend less money on season tickets, I'm sure that they would be all for this. But nobody in baseball is. Nobody.
I don't think the fans would be all for it.
You don't think the fans, if they say, you know what, we're going to give up, you know, the 20 or 30 games in April where you freeze and only play in warmer weather.
Then what do you do with all the records?
I don't know. I don't know what you do with the records.
Because that's a huge part of baseball.
It is, but I think for the here and now, I think fans would welcome spending less money on season tickets, less money on parking, and spend it somewhere else.
All right, so if I'm...
And still get a lot of baseball from May through August, say.
Okay, so you're not playing in September.
Well, whatever. I just threw that out there. I haven't really thought it all the way through. But
okay,
say so, you then start at the end of May and go through September.
So if I'm a season ticket holder who most likely is splitting my season tickets up, I'm all for getting rid of games,
spending less on it. Yes, I think spending less money.
Well, you're spending less on getting less product.
Yeah. I honestly don't think fans would have too much of a problem with spending less money on expensive season tickets. No.
You would be, I think that it would be met with so much opposition that you would be very surprised.
Yeah, I would be. From the fan perspective, I would be. Yes.
Rizzo got to stand out there. He makes a tragically little amount of money for his abilities.
True. Which would make him want to earn make more money, not give it back.
Yeah, and exactly how much do you think he believes he's going to give back? $100,000? Standing out there at first base. Oh, the grueling. Oh, I got to stand there in the weather. You know who has to stand there in the weather? All of us. Every day, we got to be there in the dumb weather.
Yep.
Get coddled and you play baseball, so you have to stand outside of the heat. For an hour, maybe even an hour and 15 minutes a day. Oh, but that's right. You have to take batting practice in infield. What a chore. This guy's playing beer league softball in effing November.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus, my kid plays baseball in October. Got a bunch of 8 and 9 year olds out there running around playing baseball at that point. Oh, get it. You got to get it through your head. Too much baseball. And by the way, he's bitching in April, too. He's bitching. It's really about being in the cold. He doesn't like playing in the cold. Because it hurts when he hits one off the handle. The vibration of the bat hurts his hands. He doesn't like that.
You're probably right. It's all. I'm freezing. I wish I didn't have to play baseball now.
Well, you know, it's like being in the MMA.
Once you start talking about giving money back, that's where someone has to put the wraps on him and get him away from the phone.
Well, it's like he's in the MMA. I mean, you know, like those guys take kicks to the face and you know get their face raked and you know risk massive head trauma, and he's got to stand in the cold. I mean, it's basically the same thing.
Sure.
I read that and I said, I cannot believe the balls on this guy, which probably is a problem when you're standing out there because I would imagine your scrotum shrinks because of the intense weather.
Something I had not considered.
Yeah.
That's you know, deep thinking tea. Good for you.
Well, you know, it keeps you fertile. You got to keep the boys a little cold.
That trip back to Twitter has upped your game a little bit this morning.
I'm off Twitter again.
Oh, really? I thought you were kidding around. That's it? You're off again?
Yeah,
that's
I don't know. I don't know my password.
No, I know that, but because you tell me Stephanie has your password.
No, I had to fight.
It was a one-time only deal.
Yes,
you had to step in and there write some wrongs.
There
and
was so much misinformation,
okay.
And that I don't want the advertisers to see that and think it's true.
Okay,
so that's it. I've never done it before involving the ratings, and I hope not to have to do it again. But all I can tell you is that I am getting a bonus for finishing number one, 25 to 54 with men. And that's it. That's a fact. A fact. Swear my children's lives. That's a fact. So, and they don't just do that. There's no asterisk. They, believe me, they don't want to give you the money. All right. Here are the headlines.
Stay tuned for more Toucher and Rich. 98.5 Sports Hub.
Last night, we told you the inspiring story of the woman who finished first at the Boston Marathon this year, the first American woman to win since 1985. Tonight, the person who finished last, her story might be even better. Mary Schertenlieb is a 42-year-old mother of two who has battled cancer three times. Doctors warn it would be tough to try the Boston Marathon, given her compromised immune system, especially in Monday's punishing rain and cold. But Schertenlieb was determined to run, to raise money for the Dana-Farber Cancer Institute. At mile 15, her body began breaking down. She was told to stop, with concerns over hypothermia. She went to the medical tent, and after calling her husband, they decided she should go home. A few hours later, however, Mary went back on the course, this time with her husband by her side. And early this morning, shortly after midnight, Mary approached the finish line, crossing at 12:18 a.m., more than 15 hours after the first runners started the race.
She's been amazing, and I'm just, every day I'm inspired by her.
It wasn't the photo finish she expected, but it was about the best one we can imagine.
You could do anything. It may not be how you imagined it playing out, but you could still get it done.
Congrats, Mary. You inspire all of us.
Nine eight five. The Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. When the Red Sox are out of town on the West Coast, we are
real quick. I just want to say something real quick about that. First of all, this has been nuts. What's happened with Mary over the past couple of days after the marathon thing? And I just want to thank Dan Roach because he's the guy who essentially made this a story. He was there at the finish line. He was the one who first started covering this with WBZ. And since then, my wife texted me this morning and she's getting calls from like Europe. People wanted to interview her over there about this. There was last night, that was the CBS Evening News. They were the ones who did a story on her nationally. ESPN this morning has her as the number one top thing. And to me, that's neat and that's great. But the one thing that it's really done that is truly making Mary feel amazing and making, I'm kind of sitting back in awe, is that more people are donating to her page for Dana-Farber, raising money for Dana-Farber. Just since yesterday, I think there's been like $7,000 more dollars donated. She's almost at $40,000 now. And if you would like to donate, I just tweeted the link back out there. And because it's been such a crazy couple of days with what she's been doing. She did this interview with CNN yesterday and everything. She's shocked by all this. She literally thought that we were going to go there and no one was going to be at the finish line. So this is all a complete and total shock to her, how it's all turned into something. But the one great thing that's come out of this more than anything is the fact that all this money is being raised. So if you would like to donate, please, thank you so much. Go to @TucherandRich. We have the link up there. And let's try to push this thing as far as we can go. So thank you guys very much for all the support. And a big thanks to Mr. Dan. What a class act. Dan Roach being the guy it all comes from. What a good guy wearing his Donald Duck socks yesterday at the finish line.
That completely makes sense.
I'm just assuming he always
wears
Donald
lying,
Duck socks.
I don't care. That's a good visual.
I'm just assuming that's the way it always goes.
Yeah.
So thank you, Dan Roach, for all your help on this. And thanks to him, a lot of money is being raised for Dana-Farber.
All right. When the Red Sox are on the West Coast, you are treated to something truly special. And that is by a man by the name of Johnny Gomes.
What if you're at a grocery store and the guy right next to you in line is pointing at you and yelling at you? Are you going to go get security or you going to do something right there?
Well, you're not going to, what are you going to fight the guy and get arrested? You're going to, what, break him in half?
Going to kick ass and take names. That's what you're going to do.
Stick him in the, where they count the change. You're going to stick him in that thing and make him into mincemeat. But
we whoop their ass!
Johnny Gomes. Is that peak Johnny Gomes? When he took over the Royals parade without playing a game, literally took over the big celebration parade. Was that peak Johnny Gomes, or was it 2013?
I told you when I was driving home one day, I was listening to this guy, I know Johnny Dare, who does a show in Kansas City, and they were playing that audio. You know, and you have to understand, Kansas City is obviously very excited. They'd won the World Series, and they were trying to figure out who it was.
Alex Gordon, Alex Gordon, Alex Gordon, Alex Gordon.
Everyone's like, who is this guy? And get him off the stage.
In Kansas City, they did not know who he was.
Yeah. Y'all want to be politically correct? I'm the unpolitically correct person. We whoop their ass.
Who are you?
Yeah, you're not very unpolitically correct with your American flag.
Ken Rosenthal was peak Johnny Gomes, as far as I'm concerned.
That was the moment
That's number one, easily.
I became a Ken Rosenthal fan for life. So it's the end of the World Series, and Johnny Gomes, just he wants to get on the microphone, and Rosenthal calls him out with this question.
Johnny, you just instructed me what to ask you. The team was 10-1 with you starting in the postseason. How'd that happen?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of saber metrics, and there's a lot of numbers and stuff, you know, the whole war stat, you know, but when we go to playoffs, you know, it's, you want me to go to war with, you know, so, man, I say I work inside a museum, but this is the loudest a museum's been in a long time.
Yeah. So Rosenthal says, you instructed me on what to ask you, and then he just makes it all about himself. What makes you so great? Tell me, Johnny. Ask me why I'm so great. Come on, kid. Just ask me why am I the guy?
What's funny is that he had, you know, thought that out and was ready in case that they won. He was all in.
But it still didn't even come out right. I want to go to war with.
Yeah, well, you know, he's not a very literary fella. All right, well, here he is. He's doing a color commentary.
Breaking things down the way only Hacksaw Johnny Gomes can do it.
And this is him on Nesson.
One of the things that Johnny was talking about before the game was the difference in the baseballs between Japanese baseball and the major leagues here in the United States.
And it's one thing that I don't know if has had enough coverage, but for me, from going over there, it is a big difference. The size of the ball, the seams, and most importantly, the tackiness of the mud we use versus the mud that they use over there.
Okay, so at this point, he's holding the two balls in his hand, okay? All right? And they show him holding the balls in his hand.
Right here. Brought this guy back.
All the way from Japan.
This is an official Japanese-style ball right here that they use. And this is ours over here on the left. Obviously, you can't see the difference, but it's pretty easy to tell the difference. Not what you feel.
Yeah, so I'm giving you a visual,
TV, you see.
A visual illustration of the balls. Now, I understand that you can't tell a difference. That's why I'm holding them. Rather than just explain the difference, I'm going to give you zero visual evidence that this is actually the case.
You can't see the difference, but here is the difference.
I'm going to contradict my argument by showing you that there's no physical difference between the two balls.
Now, what about those balls? I mean, when you hit them, you know.
It's unbelievable what they did!
Not a lie.
I don't know how many of them he hit in Japan.
And you'll be able, without even looking at the labels, you can tell.
It is amazing how much tackier the Japanese baseball is than the Major League Baseball, which is far slicker.
And then, obviously, with the size, what I did here is to show our viewers, as I brought this little tape measure right here, and to wrap it around, you can actually see the difference in the circumference of the Japanese ball versus
line shot. Upton back in.
Camera cuts.
And he retired.
Yeah, so what I went ahead and did is I got a tape measure right here. Scott downstairs who sells the suits. So what we can do is we can go ahead and we can put it right here and we can measure from seam.
It's a shining seam.
Then seam to seam without covering the seams. I'm obviously going all leather right here without going over. And this one is going to be running at about 7.5.
Martinez with a swing and a miss. He's got 1-for-2 of the base hit.
That's about 7.5. And again, without getting annihilated from whoever, but this isn't 100% accurate. And then this one right here is going to go to about 7.75.
Well,
that extra quarter inch.
And take him at his word, because he's out there. He got the measurement thing from the guy who does the suits. Yeah, right. The tape measure. That's sure. Very important.
And
to
you
know.
Wonder why the Overwatch League is going to fly by Major League Baseball in viewership.
Well, there was a Japanese pitcher pitching last night, so you had to illustrate the difference.
Right.
So talking about a ball that's not that big in circumference. Inch larger, that's obviously a huge difference from what he's accustomed to.
Yeah, and I was kind of toting this ball around the clubhouse today and flipping it in some of the pitchers' hands and seeing their eyes light up in the
reaction.
Yeah, and the enjoyment of wanting to throw this.
they were in awe.
Right, it's
they
like,
couldn't imagine what you showed them. It was like the Ark of the Covenant.
Right,
they were just sitting there going,
their faces just melted. Wow. What is this ball?
First of all, who are you, and why are you throwing me a baseball?
Right. Who in there was on the team with Johnny?
Honest to God, yeah. Who remembers this guy? Still in the clubhouse. That's what, right. Five guys? I mean, honest to God, Pedroia's not. Well, Pedroia is in there, yeah. But other than that. How many pitchers are on the pitching staff that remember who he is?
Well, he was in an American flag suit, so everyone kind of got the idea.
Kind of gave me the question.
Aspirin, yeah.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Go to a Japanese ball to an American ball, that'd be a real big adjustment.
Well, obviously, his first couple of starts against Oakland, he adjusted just fine. He took a perfect game in the seventh inning against Oakland. He had 12 strikeouts.
So Johnny Gomes... measuring balls and breaking down the difference. And
the Cincinnati. Not there.
Yep. They were not there.
Two more nights of Gomes, I believe. I believe he's tonight and tomorrow night, too.
Why has he got to be on at 10? That sucks.
Yeah. He's not good on the air. It's not even good enough to make fun of.
Oh, I'll watch that.
99% of the time.
You give me one of those. You give me a nugget like that a game. I'll, you keep me for a little bit.